You know, there's only one thing wrong with live streaming our services. I just worry about this, but we just figure if you're at home watching, you're just one of us. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Brother Blanton has been assaulting me from back in the booth back there through text messages. I can tell I can't wear a different colored sock because his first question was, his first question was, where are your socks? So I had to write him back and tell him they're on my feet. I don't know where he puts his, but I guess he just can't handle it. But y'all pray for him because he keeps it up. I'm going to shoot him, all right? So I just wanted to throw that out there. So do that if you would. Hey, we're in 3 John. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 1. 3 John, if you will, in your Bible. 3 John, verse 1. We're going to read about half the chapter or something like that, maybe a little over it. Look at it. There's 3 men mentioned in the book of 3 John. We're just going to look at one of them tonight and just take a look, try to get something for ourselves and try to challenge us a little bit. If you would, 3 John there, verse 1, the Bible said, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." I want to speak to you tonight a little bit about a good reputation. A good reputation. Character is what God knows you are. Character is what God knows you are, while reputation is what man thinks you are. Now, I'll be honest with you, character is a lot more important than reputation. You ought to be concerned about your character, and you ought to work to build the character that ought to be in you, and you shouldn't be satisfied to be a person of no character or bad character. But all of that said, I still think if a man has good character, then he'll usually have a good reputation. If you got good character, you'll usually have a good reputation. And can I say it? There's nothing wrong with being concerned about your reputation. I think we ought to be. I think we ought to care what people think about us. Your neighbor, you say, "Well, I don't care what that..." Well, we ought to care. We ought to care. Somebody says, "You might not like my position, but hopefully you can get along with my disposition." But some people's disposition is so bad that we don't even get to their position, all right? We ought to care what people think about us. Or to be concerned. I'll be honest with you, I want to have a good reputation. I want to have good report of folks that come in contact with me. I would like for people that come in contact with me, if later on down life they run into somebody and somebody were to mention my name, I would much rather say good things about me than to say, "Well, that sorry, worthless rascal." No, we ought to have a good reputation. We ought to be known that way. Well, I believe this fellow Gaius had a good reputation, and what we see in his life is the things that if we'll put them in our life, they'll help us to have a good reputation too. And we'll just look at a few of them. Number one, I want you to see there ought to be a concentration on the truth. Concentration on the truth. Look at verse 3. "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Hey, the testimony or the reputation, if you will, of Gaius was such that people that knew him testified, notice the Bible says, to the truth that was in him. They testified to the truth that was in him. Some people have a lot of trouble showing forth the truth because they have so little truth in them. And they're just not much there. I don't want to name any names, you know, and indict a group, but politicians oftentimes seem to have trouble with the truth, you know. I'm amazed, you know. The saddest thing in the world is, to me, when accusations are brought out, and man immediately, the person just immediately said, no. When all the time they know they're as guilty as they could be. You know, I'll be honest with you, if somebody accuses you, if you're guilty, I think the best thing to do is just admit it. Just get it out there. I think about a lot of politicians, a lot of public figures that we've heard of. I think some of them would have had a lot less trouble in life when they were confronted with their wrongdoing had they have just come out and said, you're right, I was wrong. I was wrong. But man, some people have a hard time with that. But man, here the testimony, the reputation of Gaius was such that they testified of the truth that was in him. Here's a man that just exuded the truth. And the Bible said that he walked, even as he walked in the truth. He walked in that truth. Boy, there's not a better place to walk than to walk in the truth, all right? Not a better place to walk than to walk in the truth. I've told this numerous times, man. Years ago, we had a student in our Christian school. Honestly, anything that came out of that student's mouth, you could pretty well be assured it wasn't true. You could just pretty much say, nope, that's not the truth. And because that particular student had a hard time. If they had told the truth, it would have been better many times than what they told. But, just couldn't seem to do it. It was just one thing after another. And it got to the point that everybody in school thought, you're not telling the truth. And whatever they said, we don't believe it. We don't believe it. We don't believe that. Don't believe it. You may claim it. We don't believe it happened. And just, hey, what a terrible thing. But what a good thing it is to walk in the truth. Just to walk in the truth. By the way, if you'll live your life the way you ought to, you don't have to walk in falsehood. You don't have to walk away from the truth, but you can walk in the truth. To walk in the truth, really to do so is to walk in the way of the Word of God. Because the Bible said, thy word is truth. So to walk in truth is to walk in the way of the Word of God. Man, just doing what God says. Just doing what God said openly. Any of you, don't nod your head and raise your hand, but any of you ever done some things and hid it because you didn't want it to get out? You were hoping it wouldn't get out? Man, you know, you've done something. I relate an experience, and some of you may remember this illustration, and I've used it before, but I think it fits here. I remember sitting in the 8th grade science class. Mrs. Bolton was my teacher, and we were there in class, such an exciting class. But we were there that day, and we were doing something, you know, that was really exciting. We were measuring stuff with a ruler, and boy, that was a thrill. And they'd handed out these wooden rulers. And I got to noticing, man, in my, you know, intention on exactly what we were supposed to be doing, I got to noticing how, oh, this ruler is flexible. Man, look how that thing flexes. And I was just having a good old time there flexing that ruler, and all of a sudden, y'all know what happened, right? I'm flexing that ruler snapped. But man, I had great presence of mind. Good reactions, quick reaction time. And as soon as it snapped, man, I just immediately took it down and stuffed it right in the desk. Nobody saw it. There wasn't anybody in class going. Nobody. Now, the bad thing was I'm sitting on the very front seat in the class. All right? And, hey, I don't remember anything we were doing in that day in class. I just remember I broke that ruler. And I'm sitting there and I begin to think about what's going to happen now that I have broken this ruler. And I got to thinking, well, they'll never miss it. They'll never know, you know, because we passed them out, you know, and when we turn them in, they're going to pass them all up to the front, and I'll have a wad of rulers in my hand, and I could put two pieces there, and we'd have extra. No, I just thought, well, I'll just leave them under there, you know, and they'll never find out. They'll never find, they'll never come to light. Well, I mean, it will eventually, but by that time, they're going to be forgotten. Who did that, you know, and plus, you could always say, well, yeah, I sit in that chair, but a lot of people walk by it. Man, I've already got the arguments going, right? I was right there. I had it. And then I got worried, though. With my luck, she's one of them people that counts every stinking ruler that's handed out, and she's going to expect them all to be there, and it's going to be an interrogation. Who's got that ruler? And, man, then my conscience began to work on me. And I'll tell you what, when the bell rang, I thought I could skedaddle, or I could just go look Miss Bolton in the eye and say, I broke that crummy ruler. Y'all really, you should use our tax money better, all right, and buy decent stuff. No, I went up, and I let everybody else get out of class, and I went up to her, and I had that ruler. I said, I broke this ruler, and I'm sorry. And I was waiting for the axe to fall. And she said, don't worry about it. It's okay. Ma'am, I've been sitting over there sweating blood. And you're not going to say anything, but it's all right, you know. Should have walked out of the class and never admitted it, you know. No. Hey, listen, there is something about walking in truth. There's something about walking in truth. You know what? When you walk in truth, you don't have to look over your shoulders much. You don't have to be looking over your shoulders. You don't have to be wondering, well, who's catching up with me? Doesn't matter. You're walking in truth. What a wonderful, that's such a good thing to have as a reputation. The world is impressed with those who concentrate on the truth and stick with the truth because there's far too little of it in the world. You think about it, people today fudge the truth, they bend the truth, they hide the truth, they bury the truth, they deny the truth, and some of them even ignore the truth, all right? And with that being the case, man, it's so refreshing to find somebody that'll concentrate on the truth. We just might concentrate. Boy, can I say this to you? It'll enhance your reputation to live by and to walk in the truth. The truth. Especially the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Just live by that book, all right? Live by that book. Hey, here we are. So if you want to have a good reputation, you need to concentrate on the truth. Not only that, you need to be consistently faithful. Look, if you will, there in your Bible. Would you look at verse 5? Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. You ever think about it? What is it that people speak of? What is it that people speak of? Flip back to Romans chapter 1, would you? Romans chapter 1, all right? Romans chapter 1, look at verse 8. Notice what the Apostle Paul said here to the folks at Rome. He said, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And I say this to you, I believe this with all my heart. Faith attracts attention. Faith attracts attention. First of all, I guarantee you it attracts God's attention. I guarantee you it attracts His attention, all right? It's faith that pleases Him. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So don't you know He pays attention to your faith? We worry too much about success, if you will. Well, I just don't feel like I've had that much success, you know, and I don't feel like I've shaken the world with what I've done. But the question is, have you been faithful with what God gave you to do? Notice what that verse says there in 3 John. It says, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." We're talking about somebody that's consistently faithful. It impresses people. People notice it. God notices our faithfulness. Even men are impressed by faithfulness. You say, "Well, what do you mean? Why do you say that?" Well, hey, we even admire that quality of faithfulness in a dog or some other animal. Man, how many times have we heard some story about some dog that goes to the train station or the bus stop waiting on its master to come home, and every day meets him, and one day the master didn't come home, but the dog kept going, and we say, "Oh, what a story!" We're impressed by the dog's faithfulness, all right? Hey, how much more is it admired in people? You think with me, would. Folks that are faithful to a spouse for multitudes of years, that's worth commendation, right? Man, these people, they've been married for 75 years or 50 years or 60 years. And that faithfulness to each other, that's to be commended. Why? Because it impresses us with faithfulness. It impresses us. If you're a faithful employee and you hang around long enough, they'll give you, they may give you a gold watch, all right? That seems to be the thing I always hear about the most. I'm not sure I'd want a gold watch, but, we try to reward that employee who's been faithful for years and years and years. We throw them a retirement party. And the guy that's not faithful, we just throw with him. All right, we don't throw them a party. We just pitch them out. Why? Why? Faithfulness impresses people. Boy, can I say this to you? Faithful church members are the backbone of a church. Faithful church members. The folks that you know, hey, if they aren't there, everybody say, "Where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so?" Faithful church members. Man, it's the backbone of a church. We couldn't do things without that. With people that are just faithful, you could be there. You know, hey, you can count on me. I'll be there. Whatever it is. You say, "Well, my job's not important." That's in your eyes. It may be a lot more important than you realize. Boy, how good it is to have people that are just faithful, consistently faithful, always there, always there, always on the job. Now, like Gaius, the Bible says, "Whatsoever, do it faithfully, whatsoever thou doest, faithfully." Can I say this, boy, consistent faithfulness will help you to have a good reputation. Help you to have a good reputation. Yeah, it helps you to have good faithfulness on the job. Helps you to have a good reputation down at the job. They say, "Well, that guy, he'll be here. They'll be here for work. She'll be here. You don't have to worry about that." Man, if they're not here, they're not off. They didn't call in sick with a tail. They're really sick. They're not at the beach or taking an extra day off. No, they really have an issue. Hey, we appreciate it. Consistent faithfulness. How good it is to see that, all right? But not only that, look at verse 6. We're talking about a good reputation. The Bible says, "Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." Hey, we're talking about compelled to charity. Compelled to charity. Now, not charity in the sense that we think of today, all right? Usually when people think of charity today, we're thinking about, well, somebody gives to some good cause, you know, that some organization out there that seeks to do good for a certain group of people somehow. That's not what we're talking about. The charity that the Bible's referring to here is charity of what we might call a hospitable kind. You say, "What do you mean?" Well, they're very hospitable. He helped people out. It was giving of himself. It was giving of his resources for the benefit of others as they were involved in the work of the ministry. That's what was going on here. Gaius had a reputation. When people came around, hey, you could count on him to give of himself, to help take care of them. Man, it was hospitality was needed in that day. There were very few Ramada Inns. There were no Holiday Inn Expresses. All right, there just wasn't. And so here's people that are willing to open up, all right? Charitable. Just come on. Charitable. Come on. Let's do that. No problem. Charity of a hospitable kind, all right? Giving of themselves. Giving of themselves. Giving of the resources. You know, I'm amazed how things have changed in my lifetime. Now, don't take this wrong, all right, what I'm fixing to say. I don't want you to go home and say, well, I guess the preacher wants us to invite him over to eat. But I'm fixing to give you an illustration of how things have changed. I remember when I was a kid, and you know, Dad's pastor, and there would be numerous times we'd be invited over, somebody in church invited some family over to eat and everything. We just, people today, we don't do that a lot. It's not very often done, all right? We've just got people so busy, and everybody's going every direction at once, and we don't do that kind of thing. My wife and I were on vacation. It's been a number of years ago because we didn't have any youngins, all right? So that lets you know how long it's been. And we were up in Washington, D.C. area, and we visited a church there, and some of the people there, we knew their son because their son had stayed with us here for a week or two, probably a couple of weeks. And I won't go into all the details of that, but we were there visiting, and they said, hey, come stay with us. I said, well, man, we've already got a motel. Well, check out and come stay with us. You know, you don't see that a whole lot now. You just don't see that, all right? Now, by the way, I'm not castigating you, so don't feel like, okay, I'll take a hint. Preacher, when would you like for us to invite you? It's not that, all right? Just trying to illustrate the truth, all right? And, hey, in that day it was very important because there wasn't places to go. They weren't available. But, man, Gaius had that reputation. He was a man who was compelled by charity. He had put folks up in his home. He would do. He'd feed them. He'd help them along the way. Notice what that Bible says there in verse 8. Notice the very last part of verse 8. The Bible says that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. That we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Hey, we're just helping somebody along. Just trying to do my part. Just trying to do that little part I can do. Hey, you know, the truth of the matter is all can't do everything. But all can do something. We can all do something. Everybody can do something to help along, to help that truth along. Hey, to be an encouragement to somebody that comes by. I'll brag on Brother Charles. He may be listening tonight. Maybe he won't get too big a head, all right? But Brother Charles used to, when he was here, before he started driving truck, go in on road, every time we had a missionary come by, at the end of the service, after service, he'd say, hey, come on down to the gas station. I'll fill your tank up. I'll fill your tank up. Hey, he was just helping. He said, that's something I can do. That's something I can do. He said, you pay and I'll pump. No, he didn't say that. He paid, all right, and he filled their tank up with gas. He's a fellow helper to the truth. You know, sometimes, boy, what a good thing it is just to be a blessing to somebody else. Just to be a blessing to somebody else, to pick it up and say, you know what, I can't do everything, but that's something I can do. I can find something I can do, and I can do that consistently, and I can do that all the time. I can give it everything I've got on just, if at least that little bit. You know what that did? That gave Gaius a good reputation. That gave Gaius a good reputation. Hey, you know what? There's a whole lot of people in New Testament times that were members of those churches that are mentioned in the Word of God, and we never hear of them. But we heard about Gaius. We heard about him. Wow, he had a good reputation. Good reputation. What a wonderful thing to be said. Now I want you to look at the last thing. I want to go back to verse 2. I want you to go back with me to verse 2. Notice what verse 2 says. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Hey, have you ever thought about what is the evidence of a prosperous soul? The evidence of a prosperous soul. Hey, we kind of used to looking for the evidence of a prosperous, financially prosperous individual. Well, they live in the big house. Oh, they drive the fancy, expensive car. That's them. They do that. They do that. They wear the fine clothes. That's not off the rack at JCPenney. Or better yet, off the rack at Walmart, okay? But well, they wear the nice stuff. Oh, yeah, nice stuff. Nice stuff. We know what that is, prosperous. But you know what? The emphasis today in our world is on the flesh. The emphasis is on the flesh. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe the condition of your flesh is going to have a great impact on your reputation. Let me explain that a little bit further. You know, you can be in great shape. You can have the beautiful body, if you will, and it may cause some people to lust, but not many are going to go around bragging about what a great person you are because you've managed to work your flesh into great shape. Well, wait a minute. I'm not against you doing it. I'm not against it at all. Boy, for years when I was younger, I pumped iron, worked out, I ran, and I never could catch anybody, so I quit running. I've done that. I'm not against it. That's not the message. I'm not preaching against that. But I'm saying to you, I don't believe that's going to be the thing that people are going to say, boy, that'll give you a good reputation. That'll give you a good reputation. Even though there is so much emphasis on the flesh. Remember what the Bible said? The Bible said it's the inward man that needs to be renewed every day. The inward man. It's that inward man that produces the outward fruit that causes people to give you a good report and to consider you to have a good report, good repute, or a good reputation, all right, among other people. Where's it come from, that inward man? It's not, hey guys, it's not because you go, look at that bicep. Pretty good, huh? Pretty good. No, that's not going to, nobody's going to say, well, boy, isn't that a wonderful person? They've got a bicep that's that big as a cantaloupe, all right? That's not going to give you a good reputation. It's not going to do it, folks. Ladies, it's not going to give you a good reputation. To be honest with you, it's going to give you another kind of reputation. Just because you might look good in some slinky dress, it's not going to give you a good reputation. It's not the physical, it's not the body, but it's what comes from the inward man that puts out that fruit, okay? That fruit that people would say, that person got a good reputation. You know so-and-so? Oh, yeah, man, yeah. Boy, that's one of the best people I know. One of the best people I know. What a good thing. What a good thing to have that. Just a good reputation. Good reputation. I think about this. Notice again verse 2, would you? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Here's what John's saying to Gaius. He's saying, boy, I'm just hoping that God will bless you and you can rejoice and you'll prosper yourself and you'll have health in proportion to the way your soul prospers. You know, the sad fact is if most people prosper and were in health in the same relation to how their soul prospered, they'd be a pauper living in a feeble body with a constant chronic cough. Because most people, we don't worry about that soul prospering. We worry about this and how my bank account prospering. But man, we ought to be concerned with how's my soul prospering. God help us to be concerned about the prosperity of our soul. If we get that right, we'll have a good reputation. We'll have a good reputation. It'll come, all right? Why? Because we'll be concentrating on the truth. That's why. we'll be concentrating on the truth. We will not only be concentrating on the truth, but we'll be very consistent in our faithfulness. Boy, just consistently doing. We'll be compelled to the point of being charitable and giving. Why? All because souls prospering. Souls prospering. Hey, what happens there, you cannot keep it in. You can't keep it in. You'll be like that ninth grade English teacher I had, Miss Miller. Miss Miller came to school one day. I've mentioned this in the past to you. Man, she was bubbly. Now, she was never an old crank, all right? That was Miss Kane. All right, but never mind. We won't go there. All right, Miss Miller, she was nice. She was real young, and it was good. She was fun in class and everything. But one day, man, it was just extra. And I know we were all thinking, what's going on? Till finally, through a set of circumstances, we happened to see what was on that finger right there of that hand. Something hadn't been there before, but it was there now. She couldn't control herself. You know, she couldn't hide it, if you will. Couldn't be hidden. You know what? If your soul prospers the way it can, you're going to be the same way. You can't hold it in. You can't hold it in. We always talked about Brother Dennis. Dennis Lockhart came to church for years, rode our bus, was a teenager, and started coming, and he'd never miss a Sunday. I bet from the time he started coming until the day he died, he didn't miss five Sundays. And we're talking 40 years probably. He didn't miss five Sundays, 40 years. Faithful as could be. Always back yonder, sitting on that side back there. Man, he always had a smile on his face. He was singing, he was smiling. You're talking to me, he's smiling all the time. I don't know why more of us can't be like that. Well, the soul needs to prosper. The soul needs to be nurtured. Now, it doesn't mean you're never going to have a bad day. Doesn't mean you're not never going to be aggravated. Yeah, you can get aggravated. But boy, if we just get that soul prospering, we just get it prosper. What a difference it would make. Gaius had a good reputation among the Christians of his day. How about you? Do you? Now, by the way, I'm not standing up here saying, I hope you're listening, so-and-so. I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm preaching to all of you. How about it? Do we have that, you know? Do we have that? Do we have a good reputation among other believers? Do we have a good reputation among the lost that we run into? Do we have a good reputation among them? Boy, I hope we do. I would love for it to be said that if you prospered and you were in health as your soul prospered, you'd live to be 150. Amen. And you'd get killed out water skiing, all right? You know, something. Because you just prospered, you're in health. Your soul prospered. So how about it? How is it with you? Does that soul prosper the way it should? Is it the way you want it to? Now, you just have to work on it, all right? You just have to work on it. It helps if you'll walk in truth. Helps if you'll walk in the truth. Get that truth in you and then walk in it. Just walk in it. Be consistent in your life as a Christian. Be consistent. You know, I've said to you before, on a scale of 1 to 10, if the best consistency you can maintain is a 4.5, then be a 4.5 all the time until you can nudge it up to 5. But it'd be better for you to be 4.5 consistently than one day you're an 8 and the next day it's 1.5, all right? You need that consistency. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Lord, help us see the truth. Oh, what a good thing it is, Lord, when we have a good reputation. What a sad thing it is when God's people have a bad reputation. Lord, Gaius had a good reputation, and there's reasons he did. And what worked for him will do for us. Lord, would you help us learn to walk in the truth, to be consistent in our faithfulness to you. Lord, that we might even be known as a person that's a giving individual, willing to help somebody else along the way. Lord, help our soul to prosper. For us in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, it's good to have you tonight. May the Lord bless you. Have a good evening. Good night.